as Gary was giving his testimony tonight, I couldn't help but think of the families that are going through a very difficult Christmas season because of the loss of a loved one. These times of firsts that happen once we have lost a loved one, you know, the first Christmas, the first birthday, the first anniversary, you know, whatever the celebration is, it's not quite as bright a celebration for those who have lost someone. I thought it would be good for us to lift up all of those who have who are going through that experience this year. Several within this church have been touched in that fashion this year. And Father, or folks, it behooves us to be faithful and to pray and ask God to intervene and to bring them through this time and replace the grief with hope and with joy. So let's lift up all of those who are going through this experience, shall we pray? Our gracious Father, again, we thank you for the many, many ways that you intervene in our lives. And Father, your word tells us that we need to bear one another's burdens and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. Your word tells us to pray one for another. Father, your word tells us to pray without ceasing. And so this evening, Lord, we wish to pray for these who are really, really going through an extremely difficult holiday season. Father, this past Thursday, there were people that celebrated Thanksgiving when the pain in their hearts was so deep that it was difficult to give thanks. And so, Lord, we're just asking you to pick them up, to carry them during these very, very difficult moments. Father, they're facing the first Christmas and the first New Year with a significant individual in the family gone. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would bring them through, that you would help them and just encourage them, and bless them, and let them realize that you go before them to prepare the way. Lord, again, we want to thank you for your love for us, and we love you and give you thanks, for it's in your awesome name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask if you'd open up to the book of Isaiah. Starting this evening and working through the next few Sunday evenings, we want to look a little bit at some of the Old Testament prophecies regarding the coming of Christ. And as we do this, I pray that each and every one of us will reflect upon the idea that the plan of God is something that he had declared was going to come about, and it is. Even that part of the plan that has not yet been fulfilled is going to come about exactly as the Lord declares it. One or a couple of those verses we find in the book of Isaiah, we're going to be looking at one in verse 7, and then we're going to be looking at a couple of verses in verse 8 as well, that are prophecies regarding the coming of the Messiah. And actually even that identify who the Christ is. And, of course, it's a little easier for us looking back and having the written word before us and the account of Jesus Christ. As we remember, Luke in his gospel talked about there were so many things that Jesus did that confirmed the fact that he was the Messiah, and all of the acts that he did and the miracles that he performed, that there wouldn't be room in this world to hold the books that could be written. But they all proved that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Well, as we're looking at the book of Isaiah, we're looking at some 600 years before the birth of Christ. And when we look at the events like we began to look at this morning, a virgin conceiving and bringing forth a son, we are just in awe of the way that God works out his plan and how he is doing that and how he will continue to do that. In this particular moment of this writing, Isaiah is writing about the children of God and the fact that God is promising that there's going to be a deliverer that is brought forth, and that there'll be a unique sign regarding the birth of this deliverer. And so I want you to notice, we're going to pick up in verse 10, but we want to focus on Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And so let's begin to look at this. "And the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Make it deep as Sheol," or hell, if you will, "as deep as the grave, or as high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, listen now, O house of David. Is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men, that you will try the patience of my God as well? Now catch verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." Now, look with me over just one chapter. By the way, the name Emmanuel means God with us. Okay, and so this is a distinct prophecy that Jesus Christ is God, and that in the person of Christ, God literally came to dwell among men, to teach them, to guide them. And Isaiah, and we'll look at this in the coming weeks, Isaiah also so clearly defined how the Christ would be crucified and how people would respond to him at the time of his crucifixion. And as we look back, we see that exactly as it had been prophesied, it came forth. It absolutely came true. Look at Isaiah chapter 9. Excuse me, I think I told you chapter 8. It's chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Now, as we begin to look at the formulation of what Isaiah is writing about and what is coming together with these prophecies, we see that there are some distinguishing marks that are placed upon the Christ. The very first one is this whole concept of the fact that there would be a virgin birth, that a virgin would conceive, and that a child would be the result of that conception, that he would be born, and that through that immaculate conception and through that phenomenal moment, God himself would be birthed into this world. Why do you suppose God chose that plan? Why didn't he just open the skies, reveal himself on the throne, and declare, I am God, you guys get your act together or fry? Couldn't God have done that? Sure he could have. But what did he do? He chose to lay aside that position of authority to be born as a simple child. And did you ever stop to think about what that meant? Do you realize that Jesus, God in human form, had to learn how to speak? He wasn't born speaking. Do you realize that in his innocence and in his quote-unquote weakness, he had to be changed? He had to be fed? He had to be burped? You know, life as you and I know life had to take place with him. Do you realize that as Jesus was growing, he had to literally gain wisdom? And the book of Luke tells us that he had to gain wisdom and stature in the eyes of God and of men. I mean, Jesus experienced life as every one of us has experienced life. Why? I submit to you that the why is because God loves us enough that he wanted to prove this can be done. And I'll prove to you how it can be done by me doing it myself. And so Jesus came, was born in the form of man. He had to live the way that we live in order to prove that following the Father is not an impossibility. But in fact, it is a possibility that you and I can be made over into the righteousness of God to be able to walk in faithful obedience to him and complete and fulfill God's will for our lives. What is God's will for you and I? You know, there are two elements of God's will. There is God's perfect will, and that perfect will is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God's perfect will is salvation. God's personal will is how we as individuals are going to live out the commission of God on our lives. That's God's personal will. And He has a personal will for every one of us. All right? For some, His personal will is going to be a Sunday school teacher. And from the time of very small children, dedicating themselves to helping children to start off on the right foot, to His personal will being for someone to teach adults. And even, God forbid, God's personal will be someone who works with teens. Teens are absolutely incredible. They're awesome. And I'm grateful for the very gifted workers that we have in this church that work with our kids. They need to be prayed for, as every Sunday school teacher needs to be prayed for. Sometimes God's personal will is that, and again, this is one that people will say, God forbid, that we become missionaries, go to foreign lands in order to proclaim the gospel. It's not God's perfect will, that's God's personal will. For some, it's going to be that God has called us or given us the purpose of being in ministry here in this country. For some of us, God's personal will is that we would walk faithfully and obediently before God and be quick to share the reason for the hope that's within us to everyone that might ask, that we work with, that in our secular jobs we have the opportunity to be able to share our faith. And you see, the purpose of Jesus coming was to demonstrate that that could happen, and then to bring authority and power to that through the death on the cross, to, if you will, to bring redemption to mankind, to redeem us away from Satan, to present us to His Father, to redeem us away from sin, to present to us holiness and purity before God, to move us away from evil, put us as lights of righteousness in the midst of an evil and a perverse world. Because you know what? That's the kind of a world Jesus came to. He came to an evil, sin-filled world and yet reflected the perfection of His Father in such a unique way that He attracted people to the kingdom. God's perfect will for all of us is that we reflect the purity of God before a perverse and sick world so that they might find life. That's God's personal will. Living out our faith in such a way that God becomes glorified. That's what it's all about, folks. So as we look at the signs that Jesus is the Messiah in these next few weeks, let's remember that Jesus is the Messiah by the will of the Father, by the submission of the Son, and by the power of the Spirit to accomplish the work of redemption for mankind. And now poured out upon us is the calling to be faithful, obedient children to God, that God might be glorified. Not us, Him. Let's stand, and we're going to close in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your great love for us and for Your great grace and care. And Father, we ask that Your Spirit now would bless us in this coming week. And Lord, as we go about our daily routines, let us be ever mindful, always aware of the fact that we have been called into Your kingdom for a purpose while we're here. And Lord, let us faithfully perform whatever it is that You ask us to do with great hope, with great faith, and with great success. Keep us from the evil one and keep our feet on the path that You have established, the path of righteousness. And Lord, we'll give You thanks and praise. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen.